Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Ripler Politics Takeaway for Thursday, January 14th, 2021. I'm Tom Bevan, co-founder and president of RCP.
And I'm Carl Cannon, Washington Bureau Chief for Ripler Politics.
Well, Carl, yesterday was quite a day. The second impeachment of Donald Trump. He becomes the first president in history to be impeached twice. We had 10 Republicans vote along with all of the Democrats in the House of Representatives, including Liz Cheney, who is facing calls for her resignation from her GOP colleagues. And there's a letter circulating trying to remove her from House leadership. First of all, did you watch any of this stuff, Carl? And what did you think of what you saw?
I watched every bit of it, Tom. A quick comment about Liz Cheney. We've got a story on our site this morning by Phil Wegman, who examines the efforts by the House Freedom Caucus to challenge her. But she told Politico a couple of days ago, I'm not going anywhere. So, she's got some toughness to her. And my guess is that fight will dissipate.
Well, that may or may not be up to her, but we'll see.
In terms of the debate, I watched it, and there were two things about it that were interesting to me, three maybe. The first is that how repetitive it was. I watched every minute of it because it's our job, but you didn't need to. They kept using the same phrases over and over again, both sides. The second thing that was striking to me, they were talking past each other. They weren't really talking. It wasn't really a debate at all. They didn't answer the other side's points. They just gave these, 30-second speeches, I think designed for home consumption, and both parties, not so they'll win re-election
right. Exactly
in a general election, because their districts are all so gerrymandered they can't possibly lose, or most of them can't. It's so they won't get primaried, So they're speaking to the base in a very gerrymandered district, and that came through eventually, and you realize how bad having all these non-competitive districts really is. But the third thing was the Democrats' arguments at some point seemed a better argument for censure than impeachment. They made a powerful case that Donald Trump behaved irresponsibly, abominably, that a president can't act this way, and that Congress can't just let it go. But as he's leaving office anyway, impeachment, designed to remove a president who's going to be gone in 7 days, it seemed to me, as I'm hearing this debate, and I'm hearing the Republicans, most of them acknowledge that what the president did was terrible. You realize that you could have 400 votes on the same side if they had chosen to go a different way. And, that was deja vu all over again for me, because that was the same in the Clinton impeachment. The Clinton side offered censure, and instead they pursued this impeachment that led nowhere. And so ultimately, it was a little depressing because it doesn't seem like these politicians learn anything from their own mistakes.
I too watched pretty much every minute of it, and it was just, you're right. I mean, the same thing over and over again, talking past each other. Democrats, this idea, that preposterous idea that, Trump can't be in office a minute longer, or Republicans, jeopardize, he's a threat to national security. It's just silly. And Republicans, I think a lot of them did condemn the violence, but turned the focus to the Democrats not condemning the violence, last summer or whatever. And so there wasn't a whole lot of common ground that was reached on
this.
Well, Tom,
that's the point, I guess.
It's
you
all
and I made in a column earlier this
theater.
Week. I mean, and quite frankly, the Democrats, that's a fair point to make against the Democrats. However, it was insufficient for the
absolutely
moment.
Absolutely fair.
So what you're saying is that because they didn't do this, now you're not going to do that. It was whataboutism kind of on steroids. And I thought it would have been better if the two sides had engaged one another. And interestingly, I thought with Nancy Pelosi, not so much. She's sort of leading the effort. But Steny Hoyer gave a very powerful talk at the end, the House Majority Leader, the Democrats Majority Leader. And he invoked Liz Cheney. I don't know how she felt about that. But I thought Kevin McCarthy's statement
like 10
was
times.
Pretty powerful. He's the minority leader, and he spoke. He did not make excuses for President Trump. It's the strongest criticism he's ever made of him. What you saw in Steny Hoyer's speech and Kevin McCarthy's is that there was room for compromise. There was room for the House to come together on this and issue a very strong censure. But that's not where politics is now. There doesn't seem to be an incentives to come together. The incentives are misaligned, and that came through as well.
All right, so what's going to happen? McConnell says he's not reconvening the Senate early to deal with this. Looks like if it's going to be taken up in the Senate, it would be taken up after President Trump leaves office. And then there's a question of, well, what's the point of that? I mean, Biden tweeted out yesterday, he's trying to figure out a way to get his agenda moving immediately and not be sidetracked by a trial in the Senate where, you know, tradition is that the senators have to, all 100 senators have to stop what they're doing and sit in the well of the Senate and listen to the evidence that's put forward before they make a vote. So what's going to happen moving forward, Carl? Will there be a trial in the Senate? And if so, is it going to be a 2-hour affair like they did in the House, or is it going to be something more significant and longer?
Well, to your point, to your first point, Tom, I mean, it seems like almost a self-indulgence at this point. 4,000 Americans now are dying every day. We already have a vaccine. You know, what you'd like is that everybody in the administration and all the leaders on the Hill to focus on this one problem, how to get the vaccines to Americans that need them. That's what Biden's been talking about this. That's what he wants to hit the ground running doing. This is a distraction to him. And, you know, it was a year ago today, Tom, that Pelosi, having sat on it for a month with no explanation, you know, the impeachment articles the first time, announced her impeachment managers. A year ago today. And, you know, it's a matter of record that when this pandemic hit this country, Donald Trump was distracted by impeachment, and so were the leaders in the Congress. And it sounds like it seems to me like they're repeating that tragic error again. There is, if you really think that what Trump did can't just be forgotten about, has to be dealt with, there is one value to this, to the Senate impeaching guy, because in a way it sounds silly. You're impeaching someone who's already gone. That's not even what impeachment means. But there's a provision they can add. They didn't do it the first time, that would prevent Donald Trump from ever running for office again if he's convicted in the Senate. If they invoke that provision and vote on it, then this will have a purpose. Now, it may not be a purpose that's popular with...
It's not going to happen, Carl. Well, there's not going to be 16, 17 Republican senators. I mean, you'll get a handful of the Mitt Romneys and the Lisa Murkowskis of the world, but you're not going to get, you know, beyond... You get 3 or 4 or 5 deep, and you're talking about senators from red states. And the point is, after he's already let office, it's not going to happen.
Well, I'm not predicting whether it will or won't. What I'm saying is there's a rationale for it. Because I've been pretty hard on him for wasting time. There is a rationale for it, why you'd impeach a guy who's already gone. And that the rationale would be that you prevent him from running for office again. If you can't do that, it's sort of a wasted exercise, it seems to me.
All right, we will leave it there. I am Tom Bevin, co-founder and president of Real Clear Politics.
This is Carl Cannon, Washington bureau chief for Real Clear Politics. Be sure and join us tomorrow for our audio-only podcast that airs every Friday. And this has been the RCP Takeaway for Thursday, January 14th, 2021.